Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and alongside me is Sarah Wells and T-Mobile's finest, Kevin Tinkin.
Just like thinking.
Kevin, I must admit, you're looking pretty sharp today.
Slacks.
Collared shirt, slacks, dress shoes, dress socks.
These are disposable slacks.
You know, I just...
Does that mean you could throw them away?
At any time.
I feel like I need to, like, when we do this intro, I need to start and go, like, my name is Christian Warren, alongside me is Sarah Wells, Kevin Tinkin, and in the studio, Dave Johnson.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like Dave doesn't get enough credit. Dave, we love you over here, all right?
Oh, and he gave us a thumbs up.
He did.
He's got a great credit score.
Wait, what's the joke there? But I don't know what it is, but it's funny.
I don't know. He's got a great credit score.
Dave, you have a good credit score?
But he doesn't get enough credit, though.
Oh, you know what I mean? I get the joke now.
No, I don't think it's funny.
All right. On today's
show. Christian thought it was hilarious.
I
try.
It was funny.
I try to bring a little bit of financial humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the economy where it's at, man, you just got to find humor in anything.
You got to stock up on those jokes, you know what I mean?
You guys, we haven't been here in like 3 weeks.
You don't want to be bonded to sadness.
It has been a while. But on today's episode, we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Cash in your chips, Kevin.
Yeah, cash into the humor.
Guys, sorry. I'm trying to get through, you know.
Sorry.
All right. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to have a quick discussion on social media and how the well should use social media, as well as we're going to bring some news. I got some good news stories for us to discuss.
Oh, yeah. You told me that you were sharing good news today.
I got good news stories for today. Okay. Like these are things to bring up conversation and also let Kevin riff a little bit. So
can't wait.
Yeah, I brought my two turntables.
Yeah.
He's stretching as we speak.
That's right. So also, I'm going to bring my wife in studio today. It's our anniversary.
Aww.
And
oh, wow.
We honestly, I didn't want to find a guest because the guest today should be my wife. She's the guest of honor. And it's
sweet.
It's really quite a hilarious interview because Sarah Wells.
It is a hilarious interview?
Feels like a third wheel in that interview. Yeah.
We recorded it already.
Yeah, we have recorded it already. And then at the very end, we'll have some announcements. And that'll be that. So stay tuned, as well as this week's music is from a band called Dredge. I'm really into this band. And
it sounds...
sounds really uplifting.
It sounds dirty.
I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is no joke. This band is like a 50-year-old man's like non-religious worship band.
Hmm.
Like people, when they go to their concerts, 50-year-old men have tie-dye shirts and just their hands are up in the air going like... You can't see it, but they are having the time of their life. It's the most uplifting band.
It looks like some type of hippie trance.
It's total hippie trance band. They are very uplifting.
Really?
Yes. So they are not Christian.
Are they Christians?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
But stay tuned for some Dread, and up next we'll have we'll talk about social media as well as the sermon from this past week.
Now, he goes on in this passage in verses 6 and 7 and begins to deal with their arrogance. He says, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers. He says, I'm using us as an example that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written. The word learn is the same word translated disciple. It's the concept ultimately of taking what you've learned and putting it into practice. He says, I'm applying these things to ourself for your benefit that you might do life in a way that is living out and in practice what you're learning and don't go beyond what's written, the text. So I'm giving you an example of what this really means. See, their problem was twofold, an inflated view of themselves and a lack of application of what they already knew. These people were intelligent people. They're not morons. The problem is they had all knowledge and no application. And I read that and I go, ouch. Because the reality is that's us.
That was a clip from the sermon from this past week. And if you weren't there on Sunday and, you know, getting back into the swing of things with church and miss, you know, New Year's and then now the sermon from Brad yesterday, but we are in the 1 Corinthians series. The first probably 15 minutes of the sermon, Brad just did a bit of a recap of what's been going on in the last four chapters and what is to sort of come in 1 Corinthians. And Brad set the sermon up with this analogy of, you know, it's playoff season in football and there's different quarterbacks. And if you were to say, oh man, I love Aaron Rodgers. And then you go and Drew Brees is awful. He stinks or whatever. You start to like pick your favorite person and everybody else around you stinks. And that's basically what's happening in the church of Corinth of people are choosing their person that they want to follow. They're choosing Apollo. So they're choosing, you know, whoever, and they're going, that's the guy I'm going to follow. And everybody else stinks. When really Paul is trying to remind the church of Corinth, no, it's about the gospel. It's about Christ. And it's about what God is doing in this city, in this church, and in these people's lives. It has nothing to do with the people that are facilitating that, you know. So that was like the recap of the last four chapters. And then he gets into chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And it's essentially this, it's 12 verses of a lot of different things. And Brad went over a lot. But the general theme is what did you expect? What did you expect? And you heard from the gospel, it's like, look, you go to church, you gain all these tools from reading the Bible, you gain all these tools from going to church or just being a follower of Christ. And then when things get hard or when you're asked to do something or step it up or not judge somebody or sacrifice or whatever that may be, all of a sudden, or to be a good steward, he focused on being a good steward, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. And basically Paul is saying, well, what did you expect? When you came to follow Christ, did you expect this life to be easy, that you weren't going to have to make some sacrifices, that you weren't going to have to be a good steward with your time, talents, treasures? You know, what did you expect? And really that was the general theme of the sermon. So I hope that was a good overview a little bit, but.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like what something that he's trying to communicate was, it's what did you expect? Like it's hard. Like our Christian life is dying to self.
Right.
And in learning how to walk in Christ and walk in his perfection and his life. And that's not always easy.
Right.
Like it takes self-discipline. It takes like strict adherence to the word. And that's not always easy. And like we shouldn't have expected this life to just be easy. But it does get easier the more you do abide with the Lord and with the Spirit. It does get easier because your desires change and your desires want to please him. And it's not such a battle with sin, I think.
Totally. Yeah, and I think that Paul in 1 Corinthians is really just pointing out to this church. He's going, look, you guys have picked your, you know, what we would think of as pastor. You have picked your head pastor, the guy that you want to follow. And then I'm writing you this letter and I'm asking you to make a couple changes. And you're like, no, but I like this guy. You know, I'm not willing to give that up for the sake of Christ. And Paul is essentially just going, look, it's time to start living for the gospel. It's time to start living for me. What did you expect when you said you were going to follow Christ? Because if you weren't willing to give it all up, then why would you accept him in the first place in some senses? Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's a good reminder for the well at the beginning of the new year as well. It's like, look, if you're going to come to the well and if you're going to be a part of this church and all of a sudden we're going to ask you to be involved in life groups, we're going to ask you to participate in things like Serve Day and you're going to have an attitude of not wanting to do that. Well, what did you expect? You know, we're going to live out the gospel here at our church. And if that's too much for you, like, I think you're thinking Christianity and the gospel is something different than what it really is.
And it's even more than life groups and serving and Serve Day. It's
right.
It's cutting out. It's saying no to sin. And what is
totally saying no to sin and stepping it up in your own reading the Bible and your own prayer life and your own worship and sacrifice, dying to the cross daily, all of the above. And it's like, if you're going to come here and sit in these pews or these pews is really only a fig garden, but if you're going to sit in these chairs every week, it's like, and we start challenging you, we start pushing at your heart and you're unwilling to change. It's like, come on, what did you expect? You know,
right.
It's such a trip to me. These people were literally being murdered, like killed for their beliefs.
Yeah.
And yet the petty junk that we still deal with now in our, you know, third world or first world problems, you know, like,
which is funny tweets.
First of all, thank you.
They're hilarious. But it's so weird. Like, they're literally, I like Jesus. Oh, we're going to kill you now.
Yeah.
And they're like, I still like Jesus. Well, your family's going to hate you and nobody's going to like you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with Jesus because it's the way to go. Could you, you guys really being real specific about dancing, and that's not a big deal. Oh, no, I'm not giving that up.
Yeah.
It's just so random that it would just be like, that they would be so fixated on these leaders when they literally were potentially giving up their lives, yet they couldn't give up, you know, being tied to this one specific pastor or preacher at that point.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Or just basically they were the religious leaders, the ones that they were following, whatever came out of their mouth. Paul essentially raised up a couple guys to say, I want you to lead this church of Corinth. Right. And they're like, well, I'm going to follow this guy and I'm going to follow that guy. And that they're all three different personalities. And so they're all going to structure their quote unquote church a little differently, but they're all focus is the gospel. And I think that's what Brad's really trying to get at is like, look, what'd you expect when you came into this life of Christianity? Did you expect it to be easy? You're right. People died for this kind of stuff back in the day. And we're sitting here complaining about, man, it's really hard to get to church every Sunday. And it's like, you know what? Stop. It's time to step it up in your faith, and it's time to push forward, because from this point on in 1 Corinthians, Paul starts getting into it and he starts pointing out sin issues in these people's lives, and he just goes, stop that. Mm-hmm. It's time to wake up. Stop that. You are done with that. And Brad even said, like, when we get into chapter 5, verse 1, he was all, I don't even know if I want kids in the audience when we start getting into this, because Paul is pointing out nasty things that 1 Corinthians or the Church of Corinth is doing, and it's like the Christian life is not supposed to be this easy, and you are just you're blowing it, you know. And so it's time to step it up.
And it's funny, like, the more you do abide and the more you obey and the more you're like actually living the Christian life, it does to some degree that it is easier because you're walking in the Spirit and it just kind of starts happening naturally. Not saying life circumstances get easier, because those are always going to be hard, but the more you're engaging in the world, or more that you're of the world than in the world, it gets harder. Does that make sense?
Totally. Okay. No, it totally makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not jumbled at all.
Can you imagine being immortalized by being written about in the Bible about your sin issues of some guy calling you out
forever.
No one put this in the Bible about you, Jerry, and your obsession with your pickup truck. Like, that's, oh man, that's miserable. I hope that never happens.
I would love to see what the church
the
would
book
look
of
like.
Fresno.
If the church was like threatened for their lives to be believers, I would love to see what the Church of America would look like if that's the culture we lived in, like what, you know, the Corinthians lived in. It would probably look so different.
It's a horrible thing to say, but it's very relevant. And I read when I was in high school, I got that book Jesus Freaks by DC Talk.
Oh yeah,
I have
DC
that book.
Talk. Not
yeah.
by DC Talk, but it was.
But that's what it's about.
It's a book of martyrs.
And a lot of the stories in there were very much prefaced by, what would your life be like if you were threatened with death or being put out of your family or things like that. Like it would be very different. You'd actually have to make a decision. You would have to assess, is this worthwhile for my life to change completely? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm being sarcastic because that's what we should be doing. But you know, it's like literally you're putting your life on the line to say.
Right.
Yes,
it's easy to say things, but to do things is completely different. Because I could talk the talk all I want, but when it actually comes down to my heart and my brain and things, that doesn't always line up.
What's funny is that book, like, is super good. I mean, but I think it gets a bad rap because, like, everybody makes fun of DC Talk now.
Right.
But, like, that
what
book
would
is...
What people think if
dude,
they hear that?
That song is honestly, like, still to this day, probably one of my favorite Christian songs.
Really?
It's like, there's this, like, line in it where it's like, I saw a man with the tat that had a big fat belly that wiggled around like mama laid jelly. You guys don't remember this?
Well, I remember.
It took me a while to catch what it said because I had to match the words from his belly to my head. It was, like, so good.
What does that have to do with being a Jesus freak?
Nothing.
That's
but
so
the
funny.
Song is
no.
so good.
Yeah, I think he was trying to put together, you know, because I think it was
I don't think I've ever heard
a
the
religious
verses.
Tattoo a guy had.
Yeah.
And he was just saying, man, that's crazy. He couldn't tell because his belly was jiggling. It was probably John 3:16. He was written on his belly.
All right. Well, good words. And if you haven't checked out that book, honestly, like, it does really deal with those issues of martyrism. And it is a really good book. I got that when I graduated high school.
It put things into perspective.
Totally.
For sure. I have the Jesus Freak Journal.
Oh, my gosh.
And it makes you walk through what would it be like if your life is on the line.
Yeah.
I have it from his freshman year of high school.
I also wanted to say, more recently, I watched the movie The Help with my wife yesterday, and it is a really good movie.
It gets me fiery.
But I'll tell you what, there was a couple of moments, and I'm unashamed to say I get emotional in movies sometimes, but there's a couple of times where...
only in Fast Five do I get emotional.
In Fast Five,
when it ended, you started
all
crying.
It's over. No, she's sitting in church, and she's convicted by what her pastor says about, we need to do what's right, regardless of the consequences, and, you know, her facing persecution at that time. But I thought that was kind of a cool thing to have in that movie, you know.
Totally.
It's an amazing movie, really cool.
Well, I wanted to transition a little bit into it. Maybe this could be a conversation over the next couple of weeks, but in Brad's sermon, if you were there, Brad mentioned for a quick second, he mentioned that he had posted a video online right before he basically gave a sermon on Wednesday night. And so if, in the middle of the sermon, he literally just goes, I posted this video online just recapping what I was going to talk about tonight. And if you didn't see the video, you would have been like, well, what the heck? But part of the reason why Brad posted a video on Wednesday morning essentially was just to kind of, in some senses, boost The Well's presence in the social media world. Mm-hmm. I think that The Well as a whole, we are a highly innovative church. And I don't necessarily know if we always use social media to our advantage. Mm-hmm. And that's because maybe there could be a number of reasons. You know, mm-hmm. I think that certain people love being on social media and certain people don't. And I don't think Brad's personality is to post verses every day or mm-hmm. cool scripture quotes. But I think what was cool is if you missed it, Brad posted a video of here's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. And here's how it's going to connect. And here's how it connects to my marriage and all of the above. I'm just wondering, what do you guys think about that? What do you guys think about the use of social media, and how should The Well use it to our advantage?
I'd like to tackle that first, there,
okay,
Christian.
Kevin, in the front.
I think it's extremely relevant. You know, we what is it? The mission statement is helping people connect to God and each other
in every neighborhood.
In every neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, Facebook does that, not God, but each other. Mm-hmm. You know, and in a bad or a good way. I think people are already embracing each other. Now, connection, what's the depth and the scandalousness of Facebook or whatever? Mm-hmm. But the fact that people are already using something.
Right.
I actually had this conversation like 5 years ago when they were talking about launching a new thing. I think it was Unifier at that time or something. They were doing something.
We don't speak that name.
I'm sorry. Office. But I just thought it was so ironic that they're like literally like, well, we're going to start speaking in old English now. We're just going to use that language. It's like, but people are already speaking English. Why can't we just speak in regular English? They're like, no, pig Latin.
With the Unifier, you're basically saying is that why don't we start a social media site that only people from The Well use instead of using what's already there and popular?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
it just seemed kind of weird to me, you know, like, you
can't, I understand,
but I think it's great. Like I got that video from Brad. I saw that he tweeted it. So I actually checked it out. I was like, I was consciously thinking like as an attendee.
Attendee of The Well.
I was thinking, man, that's really cool. Like, wow, really cool. And then as like somebody who's thinking about, you know, Brad as an individual and, you know, trying to connect with people going, man, that's good stuff. You know,
right.
He's showing you that he's in process, which has always been a big thing, a big appeal to The Well is the humanity of it. Mm-hmm. And the non-elitist feel of Brad, especially. I mean, not that the other guys don't do that, but
right.
Brad's always very extremely transparent. It's kind of one of his MOs. And to be putting up an uncensored video or unedited video of him just going, this is what I think I'm going to talk about. I'm still working on it. I mean, it's, you know, it's Wednesday. You know,
and it's him. It's good. Him in his house.
Right.
Little hair's not perfect. And I thought
he looked good to me.
He's always perfect.
It's just an interesting, like, I don't know, maybe a question to ask Spoutcast fans. From my perspective, is that the whole reason why I started the Spoutcast in the first place was because I think that The Well needs a presence in the podcast world. And I'm not mm-hmm. saying the Spoutcast is the best podcast in the world. You know, Sarah thinks so, but... I'm just saying, like,
I
think that... podcasts are such a new media in the world, and it's like if The Well should at least have something that's part of whatever's new in this culture as far as social media. So that was my heart behind starting it. But I also look at like okay, yeah, we've started that, but well, let's take the ones that are already existing and doing really well, like a Facebook or a Twitter. Do we have a presence on those things as well? And I think we do, but are we using them to our advantage? And maybe what I wanted to ask our Spoutcast fans and those who listen to the show is, number one, how can the Well, I guess, better use social media as far as Facebook, Twitter, possibly an Instagram, all of the above? And then how can this podcast, the Spoutcast, how can we use this medium as a way to reach our congregation as a whole? Because honestly, like we have listeners, but it's a small pocket of listeners. Mm-hmm. How do we get people who are unfamiliar with this form of social media mm-hmm. into this form of social media?
And I think that part of it is awareness, because I know a lot of people just don't know that the Spoutcast exists.
Yeah.
And I did notice this past Sunday that we have a slide now that runs before the services.
Holy moly.
So I saw it. And
what? Dave Johnson, do you know about this? A slide before the services?
Yeah, it's awesome. And after the services too. So we have that. But maybe one day we could be able to announce that we have the Spoutcast.
Yeah.
What's hard about Facebook and connecting it with the church is that we can connect to each other on Facebook, because I can go to your page and like your picture, mm-hmm. or whatever. The Well can't exactly comment on a status.
Right.
You know, so it's, they have to come to us. So right. we have to post things that are engaging enough for them to want to come to us. Right. So that, I think that makes a little bit of a problem.
I'm very envious of your ability to tweet like good things, Sarah.
Me?
Yes.
Oh,
because
well,
I see your stuff and you're like, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm like, oh man, and then it's good, and I know it's sincere and it feels so right. And I'm going like, man, I want to tweet right now because that customer was horrible. And then
you want to tweet a photo of your fat cat.
Yeah, or just something ridiculous, and then I see Sarah's.
I try to put funny things up too.
No, you do. You do. You do a good balance of both.
You do a great job,
but I'm always I'm sorry, I'm referencing The Help again, but I wanted to tweet about that movie last night because I was like, it's pretty good. I'm going to tweet about it.
Just do it.
And then I literally was in the middle of it going, people are going to see this. I'm like, what? Why are they getting all serious?
I think you should do it.
I'm just going to start being serious.
Start pushing social norms.
I think that we need to definitely, leave it up to the fans and see what they say, and really bring that to Brad, bring that to our creative department, because really this is a, hey, we want to do what's best for the Well and what works for the Well. And it's like, you're right, Kevin, there might be a sense of some of the staff members, some of the, even how we run the Well page, we need to step it up and go, well, what's the best way to reach our audience? Mm-hmm. And so if you have any suggestions for us as far as Twitter, how to make this podcast reach more people, or Facebook, let us know. Email thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. And up next, we got some news, and it's good.
Can't wait.
All right.
The news with the Spoutcast crew.
All right, we are back, and it's been a while since we have done the news, but I'm excited for this because we don't really have a one on why this week. It's been a couple weeks since we've been back, so I'm going to just bring some news, and we will explain what the one on why is coming up in the next segment. We'll discuss that next week.
Okie dokie.
So, you guys ready for some news and some commenting?
News me.
All right. First news article is... there was a fight over Beyonce's marriage status that led to a stabbing.
Beyonce is married. No, she's not.
That is exactly what happened. So
she's
let me explain.
To Jay-Z. No.
So the two guys are talking outside of an apartment. One says that Beyonce is married to Jay-Z. The other says, that's not true. Next thing you know, the unbeliever stabs the guy.
Did he die?
This is a real story.
I feel like this is how I'm going to die. Like, I don't know if that's true, but I feel like this is the kind of thing that's going to get me killed. Like, I had a guy the other day who's like, oh, I don't text message that much. And I picked up his phone. I look at his phone. He's got like 1,000 texts in there. Well, you got 1,000. He's like, that ain't that much. And I'm like, that's kind of a lot. You've had your phone for like 2 weeks. No, that's not relevant. That much. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just saying you might want to put something on there. It's not that much, man. All right, I guess.
And then what happens if he just stabbed you right then and there?
I would die.
Let's play this scenario out, because this is what I see happening. I see a man and another man sitting, hanging out, drinking a soda pop. Right. And he goes, hey, you know, Beyonce, she just had her baby. Oh, really? Like, who's the father?
Her husband. Jay-Z, man. What are you talking about? Yeah. Of course it's Jay-Z.
Her husband. It's her husband. Wait, what?
She's married?
She's married?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
I disagree.
No, she is. She seriously is.
I thought I had a chance with her.
Nope. Sorry. Jay-Z. exactly what would happen.
Wow, this was improv right here, you guys. Well done.
I'm so bad at improv.
No, I think so you would be great, Christian. Bad at
improv. He has notes in front of him. Everything that he said up to this point is all scripted.
You guys have no idea.
Have you ever been trained?
I have been to like improv things, and I tense up, and literally I act like the biggest idiot.
It's because you're not trained.
No. People laugh at me. People laugh at me, not at what I'm doing or saying.
I have a lot of experience with that. I know exactly what you're talking about. I always thought I was funny. Like,
it's just, and then they start pointing.
You know, yeah. If just as a side note, if you have not seen the Well Dodgeball video from about 2 years ago, Kevin Tinkin is pure gold in that video. There's the beginning scene where everybody's running, like through the camera and the facial shots, and you're running as though you have just ran 3 miles and you are out of breath.
Can someone find a video like this, Christian?
On Vimeo.com. It's the Wells, TWCC.
Yeah, Vimeo.com/TWCC.
Yeah. Awesome. You guys ready for another news story?
The Well Community
There's
Church.
Also, if you can find it, you're going to have to know somebody who knows about it. There's also uncut scenes from the first Dodgeball video.
Oh, yeah. That's on our. It's on there as well.
Is it really?
I believe it's on that page.
I don't think
maybe not the uncut scenes.
Vimeo.com/TWCC. Check
pretty,
it out.
It's pretty
this
good.
Is a little less of a joke, but sort of. I thought it was kind of interesting. Wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this. A Michigan pastor, basically started a tattoo parlor in his church.
Yeah.
And he did this so he could reach out to the people who don't feel comfortable at a traditional house of worship. So he opened up a tattoo parlor inside of his church. And basically it's in Michigan, and his ministry is built on the belief that mainstream religion has become ineffective and irrelevant to most people. To that end, he opened a Serenity Tattoo in his church. Just want to get you guys' thoughts on that. I thought that was kind of an interesting way of, instead of kind of, I don't know, I feel like it's him bringing the gospel to people in his own church, or I don't know. Just want to get you guys' thoughts.
I think it feels like more shock than anything.
Yeah, you think so?
It says something about people that have tattoos. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, tattoos. Like, oh, good grief. In the church?
Because I would rather him have opened up a tattoo shop outside of the church and just been intentional with his clients instead of like almost like making extra good cookies so the people come into the church. Like, why don't you go take the cookies to them?
But maybe, who knows? Maybe he's always wanted to be a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
And just followed his convictions. And the Lord said, open a tattoo parlor in your church.
Does he sound like the Godfather?
Yeah, now, here's the question. Is he only allowed to do religious tattoos in his tattoo parlor?
No, I think you can get a unicorn on your lower back if you want.
Why is that not religious?
Interesting thought. I saw that and I thought, you know, I don't know. As someone who has tattoos myself,
Kevin, do you have a tattoo?
No.
You know, I've had some really good discussions. One of the guys at the tattoo parlor I go to, he is a believer, mm-hmm. and this is his ministry, and he tattoos people that aren't Christian, but
you get to sit there with someone for like 3 hours talking.
Totally, and you just chat life.
Yeah.
So it's like a long form podcast is really what it is. You know, it's just people chatting.
Unrecorded.
We should just take our Spoutcast tattoo parlor.
That would be such a cool idea for a podcast. Like,
I really want to get a tattoo, but I'm worried about a couple of things. Like, one is the stretching factor. Like, I just don't want my tattoo to grow.
You know,
and the other one would be, it's forever. It's forever.
You wouldn't get a tattoo of your cat on you?
Mm.
What about Will's face? Right now, Will's face is pretty cute.
Where?
Bicep.
Yeah?
Yeah. That way, as he grew and as your muscles grew, his face would get bigger and bigger.
Oh, and he would
look...
Yes. Yeah.
For the longest time in my life, I wanted a tattoo of an American flag on my forearm. Yeah. That way, when I waved my fingers like this, the flag would wave on my forearm.
I wanted a lit match on my bicep, so then when I flexed, it looked like it flared.
That's how you rock.
No, I just heard someone else say that one time, so I thought I'd try it. But it doesn't really work as a girl. I've actually
seen somebody with a boombox on their inner muscle right here. And when they go like this, it's like the things from the boombox.
You're really good at pumping up the old bicep there, Chris.
So I'm not gonna.
I mean, it's not a ton to look at, but it pops up real good.
All right, let's get to another news story here. And this is one that many of us may have heard of before.
That? I did.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's no big deal, guys. Youth ministry is a workout.
I'm going to go high-five Lacey, give her a wink, and be like, good work.
All right. Last news story is, have you guys heard about this guy in Los Angeles that has basically, he lit like 50 people's cars on fire?
No.
You haven't heard about this?
Nope.
Sarah?
Nope.
This is like a big deal. Like, over
Megan
the course
would be
of,
so mad.
Over the...
Because we don't know about the news. Because she would know.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Megan. I'm disappointed, too.
She's sick in bed right now, you guys. Aww. We should send her flowers.
Well, basically, this guy,
nope,
he just went on and he lit 50 people's cars on fire. And I just was wondering what that would be like waking up the next morning and just going, what? Just,
come on, man.
What just happened?
I had all my David Crowder CDs in my car. Man.
And David Crowder's breaking up.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that'd just
ending.
Be the saddest thing, waking up, your car's just lit on fire.
That would bum me out.
Do you have anything in your car, Kevin,
that
you would
out.
Be bummed if it lit up in flames, besides your children?
Well, I hope they're not
I
his
wouldn't
car.
Leave it in my car overnight just for a few hours while I'm in the Target, you know.
Right, right.
Shopping for baseball cards. My stereo has an auxiliary port.
Yeah.
And when I got that, it changed my life. Like, having an auxiliary port on my stereo so I could, you know, listen to stuff from my
phone. I wish
I
had that.
Dude, is $100 cash money?
$100 straight up, you didn't have to pay for installation.
I gave them a wink.
To who?
I gave them a wink.
To who? I'll do it tomorrow.
Well, they're not in business anymore.
That's why.
I put them out of business. The deal was that good. And he's like, it's going to put us out of business, but I'm going to do it for you because you winked at me. I'm like, fair enough.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the news. I really want to get an auxiliary port for my car.
Get it.
But I don't know. Someone tell me where to get one at and I'll get it.
I use a cassette tape thing.
It's the auxiliary, man. The auxiliary, man.
The cassette tape is kind of you hear the cassette, and then
the thing that's over the radio waves.
That's rough.
That's
I'm
that's
literally
rubbish.
Driving, and I'm moving my wire around, like holding it up towards the antenna.
Yeah.
I wish my car would get lit on fire, so that way I could just get a new car with an auxiliary port.
Yeah.
First world problems.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Someone set my car on fire. No, I'm not saying it happened. I'm telling someone to set it on fire.
Well, up next, we got an interview with myself and my wife, Lacey. Kevin, thanks for being here.
I like you guys.
All right.
I like you as a group and as individuals.
All right. I'm in a laugh. I'm in a giggly mood today. I don't know why. All right. Up next.
Kevin's a giggly guy.
Is that? And Dave, check your credit score, right?
Just I'm
All right, welcome back. We are here with, once again, Sarah Wells and a special guest.
A very special guest.
In that it's my wife. And Lacey's been on the show before. Lacey, say hello.
Hey, everybody.
I don't know. Part of the reason why I brought Lacey on the show is because we this is our three-year anniversary today.
Whoop, whoop.
January 9th. We got married 3 years ago. Do you remember that?
I remember our wedding, yes.
Yeah, it was good times.
And not so, very well, though, actually. It's all blur. I don't know if that's normal, but...
Yeah, we still haven't edited our marriage DVD, like our wedding DVD.
I'm not sure what really happened, but I know we got married.
Was there any big oopsies?
Let's talk about this, because I don't really have an agenda with Lacey, but it's our anniversary, and I wanted to spend some time with her.
So we're just hanging.
Bringing her to
just
work.
Hanging.
Thanks for inviting me on your date, you guys.
Yeah, hey, no problem. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Is at our wedding, our ceremony itself, I thought, was like a 10 out of 10.
Yes, the ceremony was great.
Where'd you get married at?
Santa Cruz, California.
Cool. Twin Lakes.
Oh, great.
And Jeff Bachman performed the ceremony.
Cool.
It was great.
It was really just us. We like had traditional vows, and then we wrote our own vows. Mm-hmm.
I quoted the movie, what was it?
I don't know.
The movie with Ryan Gosling and
The Notebook?
The Notebook. I quoted The Notebook.
I remember that.
I had these great vows. I got to pull those out of the closet or something.
This is really sweet. Side note, my dad, I guess he's sentimental, but he's really rough around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
He saved my vows, right? And he has them in a file folder in his sock drawer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
He pulled out. Anyway.
So wedding was great. We did this cool thing where I washed her feet, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then, so that was that. And then the ceremony or the reception was a hit and miss, really, because we had this bomb candy bar that kids just ate candy from. Mm-hmm. But what happened is all the adults loved it and had candy or whatever, but some kids got really sick and were throwing up.
No big deal.
No big deal, because it was just barfs. Endless amounts of candy.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I've seen candy bars before. I've never seen kids barfing, though.
Yeah, that's just what we've heard from some of the
guests. Yeah, all I remember from your wedding is my kids just throwing up all night.
But we did have an awesome DJ that my sister had at her wedding. Mm-hmm. And had everything squared away, had all the songs picked out, and then it was a different guy because apparently our DJ got horribly ill.
Yeah.
So the new guy didn't know us, didn't know our names, botched the whole plan. We had to keep having people go up and say, we're going to cut the cake now, or this is Lacey's mom's name, or different things like that.
So Lacey cried.
Oh, yeah. I think it lasted about 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. I just kind of lost control. I think it was the stress and nerves.
Yep.
And then I got over it, and then we cut the cake, and I was fine after that. But
yeah.
That's funny.
So we have it all. The one good thing is Lacey sang me a song that I have.
Oh, yeah.
I have on my computer. No, she wrote it herself.
That's so cool.
It was I love you, something.
I totally forgot that I did that.
I love you.
That was me being courageous.
Totally.
At that point, I don't know. Didn't have any experience being in front of people or
anything. Sarah, is this awkward for you?
I love it. No, right. I love this. This is great.
Because we're literally just rehashing our wedding.
I love hearing funny, because when you see a wedding, you don't think oh, this is perfect. But behind the scenes, probably everything is going wrong. I love hearing
those
stories.
Yes, things were going wrong. We had this slideshow that was supposed to play that didn't get played, so everyone was waiting around. It was supposed to be going while we took a couple pictures.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I walk in, and I'm like, who's that man, and why is he messing everything up, and what is he playing right now? Mm-hmm. It was that sort of a moment.
Yeah, Lacey and I see it from two different angles. I don't think the DJ was really all that bad, and I think it was totally fine. And every single guest that I've talked to since that wedding was reception was awesome. Dancing was off the chain. Loved it.
Off the chain.
It was off the chain.
Yeah.
Whoa. People were cutting rugs. 11, right.
You know, this is totally random, but speaking
we're
of
like
chains,
so here.
Off the chain, where does that come from? Is that your wallet is on a chain? And so
what about your pocket watch?
What about your dog?
So many things are on chains.
Yeah. Well, do you guys remember that style of like wearing the wallet and the chain?
Yeah.
Some people still do.
Yeah, totally. I bet you Dom Nuncio does the chain. I bet you he's a kind of, no, Carl is probably the chain wallet kind of guy.
No one's going to get that joke.
Well, okay, so we got married, and then we moved to Fresno 3 years ago, pretty much.
Yeah, we got married, and then we went on our honeymoon, and then came back to Santa Cruz and packed our U-Haul and bounced out of town to Fresno.
And really, the rest is history. And 3 years later,
and
you know.
Here you guys are. Here
doing the Spoutcast together. Wow. Healthiest marriage in the world.
Happily ever after.
Uh-huh. Let me just tell you this. If you are not married and you get married, and you have the opportunity to do the Spoutcast with your wife, greatest moment of your life.
Wow. And I'm witnessing it.
And yeah, yes, you
this
are.
This is an awesome
moment.
So another reason why I wanted to bring Lacey on the show is that High School Winter Retreat is this weekend. And Lacey, you are singing for the High School Winter Retreat.
Well, technically it would be leading worship.
Leading worship.
You're
right.
Just going to sing for everybody.
No.
But this is a question maybe we have for you, Sarah. If we were on a retreat and Lacey was there, would you think it'd be cool to like have the worship band like, you know, maybe come and like play like a fun song in the beginning to like, you know, like right before we play a game, like not even during the worship segment, but like maybe Lacey sings like Baby by Justin Bieber. Something like that is a fun like intro, like, I don't know. Or is that just a lame idea that I've had?
Whoa.
You should do it. Maybe don't like have them all sit like it's going to be a concert.
Yeah, no,
but
no,
if
no,
like
no.
They're
so
just
awkward.
Mingling and doing things totally. And background music, totally.
Like the kids are walking into the building and they're like playing.
Yeah, that's
you
fine.
Know.
And now you want me.
Yeah, that
I know
one.
Joey would be into it.
Yeah.
Joey Parker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's all about like pop music.
So you're leading worship at high school campus. Your first experience doing that?
Yeah, I've never led worship in any sort of camp.
You nervous about it?
Context? No, I'm not nervous. And we'll also be with my team that we usually lead together.
The PM team, mm-hmm. So Brian Potter, mm-hmm. All those guys.
Kevin Tinkin.
We all know Kevin Tinkin.
Joey. Steven, right? Steven, is coming.
Yep. Steven is a avid fan of this show. Steven loves this show.
Well, then write in, Steven.
He doesn't write. He doesn't talk. So
put
why
your money
write?
Where your mouth is.
So
sorry. Keep listening.
That. No, I'm just saying. So you have any fears? Excited about anything? Or Brad Bell, speaker at high school camp.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That's awesome.
No, I don't have fears. I hope I can connect with the kids and. I
do
mean,
you get to spend time
well.
With them too? The
yeah,
kids?
I'll be that's hanging great. Out. Cool. But I think it's definitely a different context than my only other experience, which would be leading worship for church.
Now, here's the last question, Lacey. What did you get me for our anniversary?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I told Christian this morning, this is so sad. Christian does not like letters or cards, okay? And
not a words of affirmation guy.
No. Wait,
time out.
Do a time out. All right, time out. Let's just put it in this context, okay? I want to be told what's on the card in person.
Like he wants me to say it. I want to write it in a nice card.
Can you write it and then read it aloud?
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
But I just put it this way, Sarah. For me to write a card is like a huge deal.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I don't think I write a
you
card
have.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
But, like, for me to actually write something down is a big deal. So, when for me to write something down for Lacey is a big deal.
You've done letters and cards on trips. You know, you do the daily open one envelope a day.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So, all you're going to get me is just some verbal words of I love you.
Yes, that may happen.
All right.
Well,
we also technically already celebrated, so
still
it's not super
a gift,
sad.
Though.
I mean, we went to San Francisco over New Year's, so that was when we were supposed to officially celebrate.
Love
did you,
San Francisco.
I didn't get a gift then, though.
Well, just my presence at the Spoutcast is a gift.
Yeah, all right, that's fair enough.
I'll get you
enough.
Some dots.
Oh,
the grossest
love
candy.
Dots.
They're like wax.
I know.
It's
thank
nasty.
You. That's Christian's face.
Yeah, why? I don't know.
Well, basically, another reason why I want to bring Lacey on the show is to kind of set up our one and why for next week. Speaking of relationships and all of the above, is that next week's one and why, we really want to do a one and why as what is your worst breakup story of all time? Lacey and I, we never broke up dating, but we both started dating after our relationships both ended. Mm-hmm. So we have experience with breakups. Mm. Pound it.
Pound.
But we would want to know your best breakup story and why.
This could be like sad. Like people could be like crying, leaving messages. And then he told me. That's what I'm going to do. I'll for sure do that.
So, Lacey, thanks for coming in. And sorry we didn't have an agenda. I just really wanted to hang out with you. And, you know, this is like our date, this date night for us. So thanks for coming with us, Sarah.
You're inviting me. Okay. I feel so privileged.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Well,
this
up next.
This hasn't been a third wheel at all. This is great.
Well, has it really, honestly?
No.
All right.
This is great.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in. Up next is some announcements, and we'll close out the show. Thanks, Lacey.
Is not married.
She is married. Beyonce is married to Jay-Z.
Pretty sure she's not. She doesn't seem like the marrying type.
Well, but she has babies.
I think you're wrong.
Baby.
I heard if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it, like just the other day. And if she's still singing about it, then obviously she doesn't have a ring.
I think you're wrong, Kevin.
So that's logic right there. Wow. I don't know. Can you handle it?
Well, can you, handle it?
Do you want to rebut? You want to rebut to my logic? I don't think you can.
Rebut? Is that short for rebuttal?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, if you're just tuning in, Jay-Z and Beyonce are not married.
Yeah, right? Or they are.
Sarah, please give us some announcements. I'm dying over here.
Okay. Academy starts next Monday night and is still open for signing up. Please come join us Monday night, 6:15 here at the North Campus. We'll be studying doctrinal truths this semester. Every Monday night, 6:15 is $50. Come on down. Also, Dodgeball League is starting up.
No way, really?
Yeah. So cool. January 16th is the first night.
That was a genuine surprise, by the way.
Yeah, I could tell. I can totally tell. It starts January 16th. Sign up on the website or call the office. We can get you signed up. It is so much fun. Monday nights at Break the Barriers after Academy, you could go. You can go be a spectator or you can play on a team, get some friends together. It's so fun. And by the end of the season, there's a big tournament or a big championship and everyone gets crazy. Yeah. And it's just great.
Pretty awesome. I did the dodgeball thing like the first year that it went, and I didn't play much. It was fun. There wasn't a lot of people. And then there was a lot of people afterwards the second year. And I went to throw the ball, and I, like, you know, standard, you know, put your leg up and then plant your foot and then, you know, arm over to throw a ball. That's, by the way, that's how you throw a ball.
Yeah,
just to break it down.
Yeah.
But when I planted my foot, rolled my ankle and I fell over and the ball landed on top of me. And my buddy Scott was there and he just thought that was the funniest thing. And I was in genuine pain. And
he's like,
you looked great. You tagged yourself out. You tagged yourself out. I was yelling at him, I have weak ankles.
I have weak ankles.
I never played since. I won't.
If you want to sign up for that, yeah, check it out online. Also go to facebook.com/spoutcast or
email us.
Or email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com with your worst breakup story and why, as well as twitter.com/thespout. You got a good one?
I might start crying on the air.
I know. I have a funny one, and then I have, like, the worst one that actually I could get emotional.
Let's hear about it. Let's read them up.
It's fresh.
I think it can generate good conversation between us. This is the spot we're at.